Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Now, I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Let's say thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show, another Monday night.
All right, everybody.
This cack of ball, man.
Want to play a game? Okay. How can I win it?
Game Strong. We here, and we're here to go ahead and impact communities and impact lives.
I'm too strong.
Guys, welcome back, everybody, to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. It's me, your host, Big Trey.
I'm too strong.
See, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
If you got questions or you just want to give me a shout out, I'll send love.
You want to play a game? Okay.
Giving you the latest and sports, the hottest sports people out there in your city, in your area, all over.
I'm too strong.
What?
I'm too strong. Too strong.
Welcome to another Monday night. This is your host, Big Trey. I'm glad y'all are here. I know y'all are getting ready to do your thing for the Cinco de Mayo holiday, but before you turn up tonight, hey, I got the live sports show here on the Shadow Worlds Network. First and foremost, before I forget anything, my co-host, who is back by popular demand, Miss TK, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. For some reason, you're still here.
You sound unhappy about that.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying you're still here.
But you didn't say that with excitement. You was like, you're still here. Like, is there a problem? Maybe you got beef? I mean, what's up?
I mean, I don't know. Are you a Mayweather fan?
No, I'm not a boxing fan, period. I like USC.
But you like the Cavaliers, though.
You know what? We're not going to start the show off with your foolishness today. Let's start off on a good note.
Anyways, man, before I get into anything, Big D, do your thing at your political debate tonight. We're rooting for you. We're cheering you on. And also, I just got some wonderful news. A former guest that was here on the show, Brandon Santiago, just told me earlier today that he is entering the 2014 NBA draft that's coming up. Hey, congratulations to you, my man. Keep up the good work. Do your thing, man.
Definitely. That's what's up. I wish him the best of luck in that.
Now, this weekend, the Mayweather fight, right along with the playoff games, since you're not a fan of boxing, you really, I take it that you didn't even – I know you know something about Muhammad Ali pretty much calling out Mayweather.
I mean, I'm not ignorant to boxing. I just don't really it's just not my thing. I know I can talk about it. I'm not, out the loop.
So do you think Floyd Mayweather's a paper champion? He's picking and choosing his opponents.
I think that he's smart. I think that he carefully chooses who he will fight, so he has the advantage of winning. I don't really think that he will choose to fight anybody that will give him real competition, even though I think he was kind of surprised how close the fight was over the weekend, but I still think overall he knew he was going to win. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like boxing, especially, I don't like watching Mayweather fight, because I know he's going to win, because that he chooses the fights that he knows he's going to win. So why even watch it? He ain't knocking nobody out.
You know.
So, I mean.
Here's the thing. You know, the great Muhammad Ali himself requested and said, hey, he would like to see the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
It's not going
to
happen.
How long, I'm just saying, how long have we been waiting for the Manny Pacquiao-Floyd Mayweather fight?
Then how long are you going to continue to wait? He's not, I will be very surprised if he does that. He is trying to end his career undefeated. So in order to do that, you have to be smart. And he knows that Pacquiao gives him a represent. He knows that that's not a clear win for him. So he ain't messing with it.
So you're saying he's a paper champion. He just, it's like he's picking and choosing and best refusing.
Exactly. Like he's not, I don't really think that he's not going to do that fight. I don't care how much money you throw at him. It ain't going to happen.
So are you saying, and now, Floyd Mayweather might be listening.
Yeah, he might be. You're right.
He might be listening.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying he's scared of Manny Pacquiao?
Yes. Floyd, you're scared.
Whoa.
You're scared. I'm not scared of him. You're scared.
Oh, you know what?
So put your big girl panties on and get to fight some real competition so I can really give you that undefeated classification. You got to really earn it. Yeah, he didn't win undefeated, but really, who has he fought? Like, let's be honest. When his fight, he'd be like, he's fighting who? What kind of people you ain't never even heard of?
He might fight you next.
He might.
After this rematch, a possible rematch.
I don't even think he's going to do a rematch.
Well, yeah, because
he says it, but I honestly don't think he's going to do a rematch.
You know what? It was crazy because watching the fight, and, you know, Medina gave him a run for his money.
So this is why he won't do a rematch. If he's as smart as I think he is, this is why. Because he no longer has the advantage. Once you fight somebody, you know how to fight them. So now he can go back to the drawing board and fix all of the mistakes that he made. Because Floyd ain't going to change his style of fighting. But he will. So he can come back with the full advantage and tweak his, because he threw a lot of punches. He didn't land a lot of punches. That was his downfall. So he was kind of like the girl. He was kind of like the girl in the cat fight doing the windmill. It looked good, but you really not hurt nobody.
The thing about it was, I think what made Floyd Mayweather win this fight, he landed a higher percentage punches.
That's what I'm saying. So that was the only advantage I really feel like he had. He connected more.
A better percentage, but he only threw nine more punches.
Right, so what I'm saying, wasn't my landslide at all. So
yeah.
I think a rematch would be very, very unwise, because nine is such a small margin that the rematch, if a boy tighten up his game a little bit, he'll beat Floyd the next time. Floyd ain't doing that. He talking, but he ain't going to do that.
Now, what I can tell you, Floyd Mayweather, probably one of the best defensive adjustments making on the fly boxers that we've ever seen.
I agree. I do not think that he's not a good boxer. I mean, he has.
I just want to see him fight somebody we know.
I want to see him fight somebody that can actually beat him. That's what I want to see. I want to see a real fight. Because, you know, everybody knows going into a Mayweather fight, Mayweather's going to win. So it's like, why even watch it?
He's not knocking nobody out either. So
no, he ain't knocking nobody out. He can hit, but his ain't that hard. I can take it. But.
Oh, he's definitely going to fight you in September. He's going to definitely fight you in September. Right now.
I'm ready. It's whatever.
I mean, hey, you may. Floyd Mayweather made $32 million off.
That's what I'm saying. I'll take a butt whooping for that much money. You ain't said nothing. Floyd,
wow.
What's up? I'm ready.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. And here's what I think he will take the rematch against Medina, because Amir Khan, great young fighter. And for all boxing fans that know Amir Khan has the ability to, if it was like an upset besides Manny Pacquiao, Amir Khan, young, he can prepare, he's very patient, kind of fights like Floyd, but a younger, it's like Floyd fighting himself kind of, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it would be a great match for Amir Khan, but with this, with him waiting in the mix, and then, you know, Floyd Mayweather with his personal issues that he has, you might take this rematch.
I don't think that would be wise. I really don't. Because, see, sometimes when you get a little too confident, that's when you fall on your butt. If I was him and I'm trying to keep my undefeated record, I would win and move on. That's it. No, because I'm already I'll say it, but he's already fought him, so just take that win and keep it moving because it was too close. I'm just saying if I was Floyd, if I'm thinking like him, it was kind of too close for comfort, so I wouldn't go down that road again if I'm trying to stay undefeated, which he is. Everybody knows that.
And Muhammad Ali said he would like to teach. The greatest.
Everybody said that. That doesn't mean
but here's
it.
The thing. When Ali, the greatest boxer of all time.
That boxing is real.
You know, requested, look, I want to see you fight Manny Pacquiao.
But when you are scared, you're scared.
What do you say about that?
I'm scared. No, thank you.
Totally no, thank you. Right. And you know, with somebody in the Mayweather camp is going to pull the clock. They're going to see you at a grocery store. They'll probably find you in the grocery store. Counted against the record. You are, you know what? So
Floyd versus TK. I'm cool.
Oh my goodness. I don't know. Can you fight?
You know I can fight. I beat you up all the time. Don't play.
Going from boxing. To the NBA.
No one thought about that. That's cool. I
think
it
looks good. NBA. Oh, boy. Going from Boston to the NBA. The playoffs. This is where the legends or the heroes are being made. Big-time players are being made. People that did not see the Houston Rockets and the Trailblazers. Whoever says that Damian Lillard has not solidified himself in this league.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Not only did he put the Trailblazers on his back, but he single-handedly sent James Harden and Dwight Howard home in six games. He's literally reviving the city of Portland. He's revitalized the careers of LaMarcus Aldridge, Wes Matthews, Nicholas Batum. This is a good, experienced, young core of guys.
Mm-hmm.
He has put the Trailblazers on his back, and you know what? They can go far.
Yeah, I think they can definitely go far, especially with him playing the way he's been playing. I mean, and it's always great to have somebody that you know you can count on in the clutch, because during the playoffs, the games are usually close. I mean, there's not really like blowouts, and you know what I'm saying? So you need somebody that can perform and be consistent in the last few seconds of the game. And I believe he can do that consistently.
It was just a good play. Because before that, James Harden, who pretty much solidified himself as a superstar in this league, and most people disagree with me on that. James Harden, as it may sound, he is probably one of the top 10 best players in this league. I put him in the top 10.
I would agree with that. I like Harden. He can hoop. I'll give him that.
I mean, James Harden.
I can't take that away from him.
James Harden is not only a playmaker. That means, granted, not the best defender in the world, but who in the league plays defense?
I was going to say,
yeah, you know, like, who plays defense in the league? But he's probably, as a guard, has one of the best offensive games, one of the most craftiest players in the league. Gets to the line like crazy. And that is the objective. He draws a lot of fouls. He makes his free throws. Always keeps the Houston Rockets in the game, whether he's having a great scoring night
And he doesn't have to score. He affects the game in so many ways. He's a playmaker. You know, he can get his 25 points in a rhythm where Chandler Parsons gets his 15 to 20 points. Dwight Howard is involved. Hell, Jeremy Lin is involved as well. So this was just an unfortunate situation. He hits the shot, boom. Houston is up. Houston, everybody here. Game 7, then he comes off that pick. Damian Lillard comes off that pick and sends them home. Dagger. See you next year. Like,
but that's what the playoffs are all about. The game is not over until that time says zero.
Yeah, you know, it's just, and the thing about it is, comes from a small school, Damian Lillard, and whoever found him, he's just one of those guys that, hey, you don't have to go to the big-time schools to be recognized, to be noticed.
And to make an impact on a league, it's not necessarily about the school you go to. It's just about your talent. It's about what you can give to your team.
And Damian Lillard is, and he's only in his second year.
He going to do a lot.
He is going to be a problem for years.
I agree.
He can do it all. He can sing. He can get to the rack. Great jump shot. Great understanding for the game. And he's only going to get better.
Yeah.
He's only going to get better.
He's still pretty young.
So the Trailblazers are going to go against the Spurs, which that was a good game 7. It was just the Spurs kicked in.
The Spurs are just a good team.
Yeah,
good fundamental basketball. And it's hard to beat a team that has a good fundamental basketball game. Very hard to beat them because they don't need all the hoopla and the dunks and all that. They can beat you by just good, basic basketball. And a lot of people now don't even know how to defend the fundamentals. They don't even know how to defend that type of basketball. They're so used to the run and gun and the –
but you know what? It was the Mavericks, they couldn't really get any solid touches from, you know, Monte Ellis, who had a 12 points, and that was it. It was just the Spurs kicked in. You know, Parker, which, as much as people hate to say it,
he's always good.
He's relevant. One of the best point guards in this league. Yes. Tony Parker is a top 5 point guard.
I would have to definitely agree with that. You cannot leave him out of that conversation.
Yes.
I don't know how people do.
Because you know what? It's not grand and dazzle.
Yeah, he's not with the rah-rah-rah and the hoopla.
He's not going to, you know.
But that's not really what basketball is, and that's what people seem to forget. Basketball is not just about dunks and crossing people over and – you know what I'm saying, in the highlights. That's not necessarily going to win you games, and it's not going to win you a championship. That's for sure.
You know, and the reason why I say top 5, because this is the time when Tony Parker just
shows up.
This is it. He hangs around
all season.
You know, all season
he goes in.
This is it. This is what it's all about. Great leader.
And that shows how great of a player he is, because some people do not perform well during the playoffs.
Yeah, not at all.
Some people don't. Even the stars, they just don't perform well. But the fact that he can perform to the magnitude that he does every time he's in the playoffs shows that he is a great player.
And, you know, he comes in with 32, Danny Green, 16, Duncan and Kawhi Leonard, you know, Tim Duncan, Ageless Wonder, contributes with his 15 as well. So, you got
Patrick
the strength.
Rock in that show. That was my commercial.
You know what? That's how long ago, like, Tim Duncan's been on commercial. He really doesn't care about that.
We're
not going to go down memory lane.
He's been that dude for a long time.
So, here's the thing. The Spurs, Trailblazers, who you got winning?
I'm going to go with Spurs.
Why?
Because same thing that I just said, it's very hard to defend their game. Because, like I said, at the end of the day, they have good fundamentals of basketball.
You know what?
They have the experience. And I think, overall, they can get it done.
I'm going to go with the Spurs, but for a different reason. Defensively, they're better. They have an ant defensively. They have Kawhi Leonard, who I don't want to say completely shut down Lillard, but he's going to see a lot of Lillard. He's going to see Nicholas Batum, who Nicholas Batum is a spark plug for them at times. And defensively, he's going to be able to contain Lillard. And then Tiago Splitter, who's going to contain LaMarcus Aldridge. And LaMarcus Aldridge, he has been given, you know, kudos to him. We talk about Lillard. He was giving Dwight Howard problems.
He was giving him the blues. Well,
I told you what I felt
about Dwight last week. So
don't you do that to Dwight Howard.
But you just proved my point. You just proved my point.
He is the proof. So we both got the Spurs winning that series. Another one, a tight-knit game seven, the Nets and the Toronto Raptors.
And this was
who would have ever thought that the Raptors
would even be in this
conversation. Dwayne Casey should definitely be a candidate next to Tom Thibodeau. Who never has Derrick Rose, and the team still gets into the playoffs. Next to Tom Thibodeau, Dwayne Casey for the Raptors should be coach of the year because of the magnificent
job
he's done with the Raptors. Raptors has been a doormat. Kyle Lowry, who's going to back up, who just happened to find the right situation, got a great talent. DeMar DeRozan, who's been under the radar, I don't want to say superstar, but star in this league. You know, they haven't been relevant, and for them to do the things that they've done this year, and they took the Nets to seven games. It speaks high volumes.
So who do you have winning?
The Nets are going to go against the Heat. Bobcats, which
surprised about that. Come on now.
Don't do that. Everybody won a game except for the Bobcats in the playoffs.
Like, what? I'm confused at why you seem surprised.
Because you know what? The Bobcats, which are now the Hornets. Can we call them? That season is over, so we can call them the Hornets now.
Call them whatever you want.
They went out with a bang. They made it to the playoffs.
I wouldn't say a bang. Maybe a two. They went out with a two.
Look.
I would have gave them more props if they would at least won one game.
You know what? It's okay. They played against the Heat. The Heat tanked some games. So they played Charlotte. The Heat tanked games. They just mysteriously started losing games so they could play against
the Hornets.
They are no longer the Bobcats. You have to stop calling them that.
Well, we don't have to worry about them. We won't be talking about them for a while. So
we got Miami. We got Brooklyn. Brooklyn, who was beaten the Net, some not Net, has beaten the Heat all four times this season. This is going to be a good one. Miami's going to win it because it's Miami, but it's going seven.
Yeah, I believe it. I think it's going to be close, definitely.
And then Kevin Garnett, ageless wonder, who still is pure intensity, chips in with a double-double. Paul Pierce, just because he has 10 points, he probably made the biggest play in the series. Blocking Kyle Lowry's shot, game-winning block. Joe Johnson finally became the $100 million-plus guy who he should be. He woke up and had 26. So
you're going with the Heat. I'm going with the Nets.
Whoa.
I'm going to go with the Nets.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the Nets.
Here's the thing. People, and Paul Pierce is having a great series. He's had a great season, surprisingly. If he was maybe 3 to 5 years younger, yeah, give LeBron problems. But LeBron James has a mission proof that he can be classified as one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
They don't really classify him as that. He got a freaking app. Like, come on.
Oh, the LeBron James app?
That really disturbed my soul.
You know what? It bugs me too, but he is a victim of social media. Because, I mean, if Michael Jordan had, like, Twitter, Facebook, and all that junk, I'm pretty sure Michael Jordan would have had a hat. You know, but
I think the Nets can do it. So I'm going to go with the Nets. It might be a long shot, but I'm going to ride with them.
It's going with seven.
I'm going to ride with them. I'm going to say Nets.
It's going with seven because the Nets, you know, between Darren Williams, and that's who really has to show up, between Darren Williams, Joe Johnson.
I mean, they have something to prove, too. You're talking about LeBron, but they have something to prove, too.
Yes.
So, I mean.
And they have a championship. They have championship guys on that team. Between Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, they have championship guys. It's just, you just went 7 games. The Heat are well rested. What can you do?
We'll find out.
We will see. We will see. And then, of course, you know, we have the other series. Washington going against the Pacers.
Well, you already know who I picked.
Washington.
The boy stopped.
Oh, the Paul George guy who finally showed up.
Hold on. Watch your mouth now. Let's don't get too crazy talking about my boo.
Be easy,
because I do not want to have to Floyd Mayweather you today.
Look, I'm just going to duck the competition. I'm not saying that Floyd Mayweather is ducking competition.
Oh, you scared?
Hey, look, the man is undefeated for
it. Listen, y'all, I'm the only one that's about that life on this show. Because Trey is scared.
Let's just get
that out there. I'm the only one that's about that life. But go ahead. Get my boo props. The Pacers all day. Let's go.
I think the Atlanta Hawks, their luck just ran out. Their luck just ran out, and that was it. It was a nice run.
Boo-hoo. My Pacers are going. So who you pick?
Washington versus Pacers.
Who'd you pick? Come on.
Well, Pacers.
You don't go with the Pacers. Stop running.
I'm going with Washington. That's going to be my bold prediction.
Look,
I think,
sucker moves.
Look,
go ahead.
Because the Pacers are so hell-bent on facing the Heat. Washington is going to, because mind you, they were so surprised by it. You know, they thought that the Hawks were just going to be a pushover.
We had to get it together. But the point is,
exactly.
We got it.
We got it together. They went 7 games
to
the 8th seed.
But we ready. We got our focus.
Washington is nothing to play with.
I'm going to play with.
Washington is nothing to play with.
What?
In the last series, we got, can't forget, the Clippers and the Thunder, which is, that's going to be a 7 game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that game. Definitely.
And mind you, I think if it wasn't for Zach Randolph being suspended for game 7, the Thunder would be eliminated.
You think so, huh?
Zach Randolph, Martin Shaw, Connolly, that's a good trio. And then the Clippers just, they just stuck to their gun.
So who do you have, Wayne? What's your pick on this one?
I'm going Clippers. Clippers in a function. CP3 versus Russell Westbrook
he gonna give Westbrook the blues.
it's too much on the rim. Too much on the rim.
Westbrook is so inconsistent. I don't know which Westbrook I'm gonna get when the game starts. So
he just happened to have a triple double yesterday, of course.
I'm gonna go with the Clippers because I don't have much faith in Westbrook. Love Durant, but I don't have much faith in him. I can't put all my trust in Westbrook.
That's gonna be a tough series. All the games, huh? All the series.
That's true. Because there's gonna be some good matchups, so it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top.
Yeah. We're going to go ahead to this musical interlude. Once we do that, we're coming back with my man representing the 317, my man Marco Price. We're going to talk to him, have a wonderful interview with him, and see what's on his mind and what he thinks about the NBA playoff. Go ahead, kick that interlude.
Okay, all right, big man, you want to make some big bucks, huh? That's how tough you are. You know something about cocaine? Dígame! You kidding me or what, man? There's a bunch of Colombians coming in Friday, new guys. They said they got two keys for us, for openers. Pure cocaine, you telling capiche. I want you to go over there, and if it's what they say it is, you buy it and you bring it back. You can do that, you make $5,000. Me don't have to go there, noon Friday, you get the buy money then. Oh, and Chico, if anything happens to the buy money, he's gonna stick your heads up your ass as fast as the rabbit gets fucked.
Get a nut and he got a nut and what? Straight bananas. Can a nigga see me, got the U.S. Open, advantage jigger, serve like Sanford's, play fake rappers like a campus, the Tigra, son, you're too eager, you ain't having it, good, me either, let's get together and make this whole world believe it, huh, admire Raymond, screaming, all this black got is sports and entertainment, until we even, leaving, as long as I'm breathing, can't knock the way your nigga eating, fuck you even.
I would say the toughest, I mean, college level but only because there's so much that goes into it, especially when you're in conference play. You're playing teams that have seen you or they have film on you, you know, so that's definitely a big part of it, you know, and everybody's good. You know, you, no matter the worst team, the team with the worst record in your league can beat the best team on any given night. You know, when you talk about high school, if you got the best players on the floor, you're probably going to win. But when you're talking about college, it's definitely, you know, you have to put the players in the right situation to succeed, things like that. You know, you got to get them motivated and keep them motivated. So I definitely would say, you know, college is probably the most difficult level to coach at.
Now, with you coaching high school players, and how do you, you know, prepare them to make the transition from high school to college?
Well, it's three things that I probably preach throughout the season, throughout practice, throughout games. One is being organized. Another is being prepared. And then communication. I'm really, really big on communication. I think that's the biggest thing that young players can learn when they go from high school to college is communicating on the floor, off the floor, communicating with, you know, with your teachers, with your professors, with your academic advisors, communicating with the coaches. Obviously, communicating on the court is self-explanatory, but that's, you know, probably the biggest between those three, but also just being organized with your daily life, things that you do, you know, whether that's being in the weight room, study table, stuff like that, you know, homework, having all that organized will help the transition to be a little bit better and more successful. But being prepared, you know, I always say that no matter how good a team is, you can beat a team if you prepare and if you're more prepared than they are. So those are three things that I try to instill in, you know, younger players when they're transitioning from high school to college.
Wow, that's amazing. So, and how many hours do you put into that a day with your team?
Wow, I mean it's an ongoing process. You know, I mean I can't calculate the hours because, you know, I have an open-door policy. My players can call me, talk to me at any time of the day if need be. You know, you, for the most part, a lot of times, especially at the college level, you see your players and deal with them probably sometimes more than their parents do. You know, so you have a different relationship with them. But they understand that. You build that trust and things like that. You know, so, I mean, it's hard to calculate the hours, but definitely, you know, I mean, it's sun up to sundown. You're a coach 24/7, 365 days out of the year.
No, I definitely agree with you because anybody that loves their prospective sport that they're playing and you really want to be good at it, you know, you're at the gym, you're on the phone with your coach trying to see which ways you can get better, how you can get better. Hey, when is the next trip? When is the next game? When is the next practice? So I could, from a player's perspective, I know because I've gotten on all my coaches' nerves a whole lot. I still do to this day, so I could definitely understand that. Now, your principles that you preach about, you know, being able to prepare and be organized, do you speak that at the camps that you attend? And if so, what are the camps, the different camps that you are at, preach that message?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, as a coach, especially after you coach for so many years, you end up having a philosophy. You know, and it's shaped by different things, you know, what you've learned from other people and what you've kind of incorporated yourself. So I guess, you know, maybe not verbatim do I say those things, but, you know, it's definitely given off when I coach or whatever, when I'm giving a speech or talk about, you know, certain things. When you're talking about camps, like particular camp that I'm going to work coming up in June, Rick Bowlus Blue Chip Camp, which is actually in Georgetown, Kentucky, probably about 40 miles outside of Louisville, Kentucky, you know, the basketball state when you talk about Kentucky. But so, yeah, definitely when I work camps like that, you know, I definitely preach those things and, you know, try to get it over to them. The biggest thing is, you know, when they come to those camps, they have fun, they want to enjoy it, but they also want to learn. You know, you don't go to a camp if you're not trying to get better. You know, you don't invest in money, no matter how much it is. You know, they put money up. You know, you don't put that money up and not want to, you know, see it put to use or to see something good come out of it. So, you know, I definitely try to, you know, make it worth their while, send them something home with, something to work on to be better, you know, and also to learn with, learn from.
And for the parents that don't understand about basketball camps, and they, can you elaborate on the importance it is for a kid to go attend a camp? And what are the purpose of having different camps in the area? Can you elaborate on the importance of that?
Yeah, well, it's, like I said, it's more than one type of camp. You have camps that just work on, you know, individual skills. You know, you may do stations. You know, you do team games, things like that, where you put on a team and you play games. And, you know, you don't know these players that you're playing with, you know, like the one that I'm going to be working in Kentucky, the Rick Bowlers Blue Chip Camp. A camp like that, you go to try to learn and get as much information as you can. It's not about winning on the team or anything like that. It's really not about being seen. It's just about you individually getting better, improving on what you need to improve on. You know, those camps are always fun because usually they're overnight, you know, on a college campus or something like that. So high school students get that, you know, college feel or whatever, the atmosphere of staying on campus, eating the food and things like that. Then you have other camps, like, you know, team camps or whatnot. You know, I've worked DePaul's camp. I've worked Pat Summit's camp at Tennessee. Those camps are a little bit different structure. You're playing games for all the time. There's really no, you know, individual work. You're taking your high school team or whatever, you know, maybe AAU team, depends, you know, to those camps, and you're all playing together. You're trying to win, but you're also trying to be seen, of course, because you're on a college campus. You want that school to see you, recognize you as a player that they may recruit in the long run. So your goal is different in that situation. You know, I've worked Kenny Smith's camp down there in North Carolina, down in Chapel Hill, which is an awesome camp. It's basically kind of the same thing, an individual camp where you learn, you get information, you know, you just work at it day in, day out. I mean, those camps go from 8 in the morning to sometimes 10 o'clock at night. So it's basketball around the clock.
Wow. Now, you were saying, talking about earlier, that how, you know, you have the open door policy, you know, your players, male or female, kid, you know, pretty much relate to you on a regular basis. You're heavily involved with managing women basketball players. Can you go ahead and talk about that?
Well, I have a few young ladies that I'm actually in the process of helping to get a professional contract or representation from an agency to play overseas. I have a couple of young ladies out of Philadelphia. I have one out of Kentucky, you know, that I'm working with as of right now. Just really, you know, I'm just trying to give, you know, people an opportunity, help them get an opportunity to, you know, to play until they can't play no more. You know, I mean, that's the opportunities that I didn't have are the ones that I'm trying to create. So with that, you know, just putting together their profile, getting their film, sending it out. Matter of fact, I've done that today, you know, so I'm sure they'll be pleased and happy to hear that part. But so hopefully just sitting back now, we're just playing the waiting game. Hopefully the right agency pick them up, you know, and they, you know, get to live their dream out. That's what it's about. Every little kid that grows up playing basketball, ultimately they want to play overseas or they want to play in the NBA or WNBA. They want to play at some professional level because that's the highest level you can play. You know, whether you get paid, you know, this amount of money or that amount of money, but it's about playing at the highest level. So just trying to help those girls do that.
I have a question.
Hello.
For you. So what makes the women that you manage special? Like, what is it about them that you feel that you can manage them and take their game to the next level?
Well, two young ladies specifically, but I think all three of these young ladies that I'm working with as of right now as we're speaking, they just have a drive. They have a motor. And it's one thing as a, you know, when I was coaching college ball, when I went to go recruit, one thing that I always look for to be consistent in every player is how hard they play and their drive. You know, the young ladies that I have now and that, you know, that I'm helping out, managing and whatever, they have that drive. They have that fight in them that you see, like, whenever they step on the court, they're going to go 110%, you know. And at the end of the day, you want players that are going to do that, but at the same time, you know, get you buckets, play defense, rebound, steal, and do all of that. But that's one thing that I saw in them. I worked the Final Four national, the Final Four combine in Nashville 2-3 weeks ago. Well, shoot, it's probably been a month ago now. But I worked that camp, seen a couple of ladies, you know, obviously they needed help, needed some guidance, things like that to make that transition and try to get overseas and things like that. But those were, that's what was consistent in them. They had the drive and the fight, you know, to definitely try to play at that next level. But they also have the talent, not to take away from, you know, they can ball. They from Philly, you know. I mean, I'll be honest. And it's coincidence. I've never been to Philly. But if Philly produced females like these two, you know, I mean, they got some good ballers up in Philly. I mean, you know, I'm not disappointed at all.
Okay, that's good. I also have one more question for you.
Okay.
So in the last decade or so, what have you seen about women's basketball that has changed?
Well, it's on TV more, definitely. Definitely on TV more. The game has expanded overall at all levels. You know, you look at AAU, there's a lot more AAU teams now. There's a lot more AAU tournaments now. As far as the coaching aspect, you know, those Division I coaches are getting paid a little bit more money than they were, you know, 10 years ago. There's a lot more endorsements, you know, and I think you got to thank and players like, you know, Skylar Diggins, Brittany Griner, you know, those players like that that have helped, you know, do that. But also, you know, the older players like Lisa Leslie, Don Staley, all of them who kind of paved the way too. But definitely, I mean, you know, women's basketball is definitely, you know, going to be here. I don't ever see the WNBA folding or anything like that. Of course, you know, it might not be as widely known and viewed as, you know, the NBA, of course, but I don't ever see that league folding, you know, just because, I mean, it's steady growth.
Now, Coach Price, the only reason why, you know, PK, you know, asked you that question because she's been looking for some type of representation. She thinks, you know, she thinks she can hoop. Early in the show, she thought she could fight Floyd Mayweather.
No.
She thinks she's an All-American. So that's how come she's trying to
see.
Hey, well, tell her, put me a highlight. Hey, listen, put a highlight film together. Send it to me. I do what I can.
Coach Price, I haven't played basketball in forever. I'm old. Don't listen to him.
Oh, well, you know, hey, I'm just saying the opportunity is there, Dale. The opportunity is there. Just letting you know.
You know what, Coach Price? We don't want you to lose your job at all. Don't want you to do that. We don't want you wasting your – I don't even want to say wasting your time. We don't want you wasting your film, your computer space. It's someone else's opportunity.
Really?
We don't get fired at all. She just thought she could fight Floyd Mayweather, so don't even worry about it. It's Monday.
I can beat you. That's all that Coach Price just knows. Well,
I will
Trey.
Say this. I am
That's
in agreement,
all we need to know.
I am in agreement to the fact that he shouldn't fight him again. But I don't think, to me personally, I don't ever think it should be a rematch for any fight. You know, if I was a boxer, once I beat you one time, that's enough for me. Bring the next person
Exactly.
on. You know,
there's
I don't,
no point
you know, growing up when you was, you know, at schoolyard or whatever, you got into a fight and you won, you're not trying to fight again. If you lose, yeah, you're trying to fight again. But if I beat
that's
you,
true.
Hey, it's fair as fair. You know, hey, let's go on about our business. You know, no hard feelings. You know, it's over. So I do agree with her in that situation. I wouldn't fight him again.
thanks a lot, Coach Price. Now she's going to be yickety-yacking all on Twitter about how she's right this week. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, she owed me one now. She owed me one.
Oh,
I do. I owe you. I got you, Coach Price.
Coach Price, before we leave, definitely you're heavily involved in the community that you're in. Well, what project that you have in the community that you're doing?
Well, right now, just kind of met today with combining another team, another AAU team that I'm going to be working with, St. Louis Ballers. We're going to, you know, combine them with the team that we got. We're going to do some community service, things like that. You know, but definitely a team full of young talent, freshmen and sophomores out of St. Louis that can play, McClure North High School. Definitely going to, you know, they're going to do some big things this summer. Like I said, I'm always working camps, in the process of trying to work out some stuff. Hopefully I can get a chance to work up Michigan State and University of Florida camp. We crossing our fingers about that. But I will be at the Rick Bowlers camp, like I said. Anytime somebody want to get in touch with me, they can find me on Facebook, Marco Price. My Twitter is PricelessCoach8. So they definitely can give me a shout-out on there, follow me. You know, any questions about basketball, needing help, trying to train, anything like that, I'm always willing to help out and give somebody an opportunity.
Definitely. Thank you very, very much for stopping by the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. You know, thank you very much.
It is one more thing I would like to add. I apologize. Don't mean to cut you off. But also, Coach Kickball in St. Louis. I did say I wanted to bring that up because this is another female sport that is, you know, expanding. I know they do it a lot in Atlanta and in D.C. The league that's in St. Louis is the WGGA. So just know that you heard it from me here first, that women's kickball is definitely going to end up being a sport at the competitive level, professional level. And they're doing some big things down here with that.
No, TK, you cannot play kickball. Don't even worry about it. You're trying to get everybody fired. Just, no. Kickball, wow. Y'all doing the damn thing out there in St. Louis.
Right, right.
TK, you want to play kickball now?
I'm going to kick your face. Thank you for coming and putting up with Trey, Coach Price. We definitely appreciate you being on the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Anytime you need me to get back on here and support you, I definitely will. Definitely will.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, my man. And before we leave and get off the air, this is the best part of the show.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
You got to follow me on Twitter, at GameStrong3D. Once again, follow me on Twitter, GameStrong3D. Also, you can like us on Facebook, GameStrong Sports Talk Show. Got to thank my man, Marco Price, putting St. Louis on the map. You know, my co-host, TK, you know, for stopping by. Oh, they gave you applause, too. Wow, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They gave you applause. You know, Big D, do your thing. For council, we rooting for you. TK, I'm going to let you rock. I have last word tonight.
Thank you, GameStrong and Shadow World Network, for having me. You know, giving me the opportunity to give Trey the blues is always a good way to end the night. I thank everybody. Wish everybody have a great night. Till next Monday.
And before I leave, I got to thank, you know, the 24/7 Extreme Sports Chat Room on Facebook. Definitely should always show the shows Game Strong Sports Show some love and all their chats and all their boardrooms. Y'all guys are great. You guys are amazing. Shoot, we got 2 more minutes left, so we might as well use it up. If you fight Floyd Mayweather, you're going to lose.
The most important thing is if I fight you, I won't lose. Let's put that on
sometime. You think you can just do it all, like...
Billy Badass over here, you know?
Can't say badass on the show. It's censorship. Can't try to get me kicked. You're trying to get me fired. Can't say that.
Billy, dad behind.
Anyway, till next week, everybody. Game Strong Sports Talk Show, 8 o'clock every Monday night. We love y'all. We signing off.
Have a good night.